Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much for your love for us and that you call us to be used in your kingdom. I just pray today that you'd open our minds to have a large vision of what you want to do through us, Lord, and how you want to use us as servants in your kingdom. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I've been fascinated by recent news reports about the spacecraft Voyager 1. This small spacecraft was launched on September 5th, 1977, has traveled 11.5 billion miles from Earth, often at 38,000 miles per hour, and is now drawing near to the very edge of our solar system. Its mission was to visit the outer planets in our solar system, which it did. But then it just kept going and going, and its instruments kept taking measurements. And the small craft, which could fit into a cube that's 13 feet on each side, has faithfully continued to transmit over all these years, transmitting the information it receives back to Earth. And just last summer, it discovered that at the very edge of our solar system, there's a region where the solar wind stops, but the sun's magnetic field continues. Before this discovery was made, scientists believed that the solar winds and the sun's magnetic field had the same boundary. And so this small spaceship that has outdated equipment and was launched just a few months after the original Star Wars film hit the theaters, this ancient piece of equipment is transforming the way we view our solar system. I'm fascinated by stories like this, of small things that make a big difference, of ordinary events that change and transform the course of history, of seemingly insignificant people that make a huge contribution. Perhaps this is one reason that I and so many people are keeping our eyes on the story of Voyager 1. And today, we're going to look at something very small, something that seemed very insignificant perhaps, but that made a huge difference. We're going to look at a young boy who offered his lunch to Jesus. Last week I spoke about the selfless love of God and how it is revealed in the humility of Christ's incarnation, ministry, and death, and how we find in Christ the model for the selfless love that God calls us to share with each other. We also saw that a love that is focused on others must be at the center of a healthy church, for self-seeking behavior will cause division in the body of Christ. Today, as we launch our Trenton mission team, I would like to build on this theme of selfless love by speaking about three characteristics of servanthood that I believe that God wants to form within each one of us so that he can use us in his kingdom. And these three characteristics of servanthood are nearness to Christ, availability to be used by God, and finally, full surrender to Jesus Christ. Now, the person who models these three traits for us in our scripture passage today is a small peasant boy whose name we don't even know. In fact, even though all four Gospels record this event of Jesus feeding over 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, it's only the Gospel of John that tells us that Jesus received this food from a little boy. Yet I believe that this boy models something very special, something that God wants us to have within us, something that God wants to give us and shape within us as his servants. Jesus reveals this little boy's significance by honoring and using his sacrifice beyond physical boundaries, beyond human limitations, and beyond everyone's imagination. So let's spend some time today looking at this story with open hearts, that are ready and able to receive what God would say to us through this little boy, the lessons that God would teach us, and hearts that are willing to be molded and formed as servants of Christ. At the beginning of the story, we find Jesus withdrawing from the intense cauldron of conflict and controversy in Jerusalem, where the Jewish religious leaders were fiercely opposing him and his ministry. Mark and Matthew tell us that Jesus led his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was looking for a quiet place where they could rest, where he could spend some time teaching his followers. Luke tells us that they arrived in a town called Bethsaida and that Jesus led them to a mountainside. A large crowd of people had been amazed by the fact that Jesus can heal people. And so they were excited and they start following him. And they go with him to this mountainside. And rather than being annoyed by this invasion of their privacy, this invasion of the time that Jesus was trying to carve out for himself and his disciples, we read that Jesus had compassion on them. In Matthew, we read this. Jesus had compassion on the crowds, and he began to heal their sick. John tells us that the Jewish Passover feast was near, and so it is likely that as the crowd was coming after Jesus, there were other pilgrims who were on their way to Jerusalem, who saw the commotion, found out that Jesus, this guy that everyone's talking about, is in the area. And so they deviate from their pilgrimage to come there. And so the crowd begins to swell with people amazed at his miracles, people on their way to Jerusalem. All of a sudden, you just have thousands of people. We read 5,000 men. That means there was at least 5,000 women, maybe a couple thousand children. This is a huge crowd, maybe 12,000 people crowding around Jesus, crowding around him. And in somewhere in the midst of this massive crowd, there's a little boy who wants very much to be near Jesus. And given the size of this crowd, this little boy, to get near Jesus, he'd have to spend a lot of energy and time elbowing his way, working his way through the dense crowd that is trying to congregate around Jesus, fighting his way to be near Jesus. You see, this was a boy who was not content to stay on the outside, to stay on the outer edge. He wanted to be in the front and the center. He wanted to be near Christ, to hear what he was saying, to be part of what Jesus was doing. And in this, I believe we find the first character trait of servanthood. In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says later, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be." As servants of Christ, we must be people who walk closely with Jesus, who push through the crowd of distraction, the crowd of difficulty that surrounds us, in order to spend time with him every day, walking with him, worshiping him, praying to him, hearing from him through his word. We must be people who live our lives in deep intimacy and nearness to Christ. And this little boy longed for that nearness to Christ. And he was close enough to then learn that there was something Jesus was looking for, something he could provide. We know from other parts of John that the disciple Philip was from Bethsaida, this very area that Jesus and his disciples are in our passage for today. And so it makes sense that Jesus would ask Philip where the good restaurants are in the neighborhood. Where shall we buy bread for all these people? Jesus not only had compassion on the crowd by healing their sick, but he also had compassion upon their physical need for food. Philip, though, as you know, he responds with exasperation. 8 months' wages would not buy enough food for everybody to just have one bite. How in the world are we going to buy food for them? Now another disciple, Andrew, who's a brother of Peter, he's also from this area of Bethsaida. And he found the little boy who's in the center of our passage for today, whose mom had packed him a simple lunch. In fact, the boy may have even been from the surrounding area, which I think is likely given the fact that he appears to be wandering around alone. After all, could you imagine if he was really traveling with his parents? Do you think his mother would let him give away his lunch? If he's anything like a Chinese mom, I don't think so, right? So it's likely he was alone, probably from the area, just off for the day. And if he's from that area where Andrew and Philip are from, then there's a chance that the disciple Andrew even knew this boy and his family. Somehow the boy heard of the conversation about food and was eager to lend a hand. And so he let Andrew know that he had 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish that he's willing to share. He's willing to contribute. Now at this point, I just need to mention that these loaves were not only very, very small, but they were made out of barley. And in that day, barley was the cheapest of all bread, and it was often held in contempt. You see, they would feed animals with barley, and it was only the very poorest of the poor that would actually eat this bread made out of animal feed. Everyone else would try to buy bread made out of wheat, a higher quality bread. And the hungry multitudes around Jesus, the people that Jesus wanted to feed, were definitely not dreaming, "If only I had barley to eat." They wanted something better, much better than that. Also, these 2 fish that the boy had were probably extremely small, probably the size of sardines, tiny little fish. You see, the Sea of Galilee was filled with these tiny fish that were caught and then pickled and then shipped throughout the Roman Empire. And so it is likely that the fish that this boy had were 2 tiny pickled fish that he planned to eat with his bread to help make the barley taste just a little bit better than it did. Everyone, including this little boy, knew that he did not have that much to offer, that his 5 loaves and 2 fish were completely inadequate, even a little embarrassing. It was unclear how his small gift would make even the slightest dent in the overwhelming need of the crowds around him. And Andrew, the one who brought the boy to Jesus, even also doubts the gifts that this little boy offers. He says, "How far will they really go among so many?" Yet the little boy was near enough to Jesus to know that Jesus wanted to feed the hungry crowd, and he was willing to be used. He offered Jesus his lunch of 5 small peasant biscuits and 2 pickled fish. He wanted to help. He wanted to make a difference, to meet the specific need that he saw before him. Perhaps most of all, he wanted to participate in what Jesus was doing. He wanted to be used in God's work around him. He was available. He was available. You see, the Jews of that day were known to carry a small bottle-shaped basket at their side in which they often stored food. And it is likely that others there also had brought a meal with them, knowing that they were spending a day in a remote location listening to Jesus, and that there weren't other restaurants nearby. It is likely, too, that others had heard that Jesus was looking for food to share with the crowd, but they were not available. After all, perhaps they only had enough food for themselves and their family. And if they offered their food to Jesus, they might go hungry. Yet this wise little boy chose to make himself available so that Christ could use him instead of keeping his food to himself. He chose to participate in God's work around him rather than to protect his own self-interests. We as well, if we want to participate in the adventure of servanthood, it's an adventure to which God calls us, we too must not only remain in close proximity to Christ, walking near him each moment of each day so that we sense the movement of his heart and understand what he desires to do in the world around us. We must also make ourselves available. I read a brilliant story this week of a pastor providing a eulogy for a person in his congregation, someone that's fairly famous, and you may have heard of them. This person's name is Someone Else. Someone Else. And the eulogy goes something like this. Else has been with us for many years, and for every one of those years, someone did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was at the top of everyone's list. Someone else. Let someone else do it. Let someone else do it was a common refrain heard again and again throughout the church. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the largest givers in the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person. And the point of this pastor's story was that someone else had now passed on and therefore could no longer be depended upon for the things that need to be done. This morning, are you available for God to use you for God's glory? Notice that I didn't ask, are you adequate, well-equipped, or fully prepared to be used? All of us are inadequate in God's sight. Like a little boy who has such a small lunch of the most simple items that most people would be embarrassed to show, let alone to share it. Are you available in spite of your lack of talents, your lack of time, your lack of energy? One of the most important lessons I have ever learned is that God is not limited by our lack of natural abilities. God delights in taking someone who really has nothing to offer except for a willing heart and then using them beyond anything that they or anyone else would ever have dreamed or imagined. Do you have a willing heart today? Does your heart burn with desire for God to use you to make a difference in your generation for his kingdom? Finally, this admirable little boy did the one thing that so many have failed to do. The one thing that the rich young ruler couldn't do, and so turned away from Jesus in sadness. The thing that Ananias and Sapphira couldn't do, and so they lied to Peter and the Holy Spirit about their offering. This little boy made a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Now, in one sense, he simply handed over a few dry, unpleasant biscuits and a couple of pickled fish. But in a deeper sense, he illustrates the complete surrender that God requires of us before God can use us for his glory. The little boy offered to Jesus all that he had with open hands, allowing the Lord to take from him his meager gifts and to use him however the Lord pleased. And I believe that Jesus immediately recognized the significance of this surrender, and then acted not only to meet the need of the crowd for food, but also to hold this little boy up as a model for servanthood in his kingdom. To surrender ourselves to God means looking to Him not only as our Savior, but also as the Lord of our lives, the one who guides our steps and directs our paths and who decides what our lives will be about. Surrendering to Jesus in this way means giving Him the steering wheel of our lives, putting Him in charge, living our lives above all to please Him and to glorify Him. It means stepping into a future that we cannot even see, predict, or control. A future full of adventure and service that He alone holds in His mighty hands. This morning, I have to ask you, have you surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you placed in His hands your 5 loaves, your 2 tiny fish, all that you have, all that you are? Have you given yourself fully to your Savior who gave Himself fully to you on the cross? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Jesus saw the little boy's nearness. Jesus saw his availability to be used. And Jesus saw his willingness to surrender his 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus responded by teaching us that all of us, no matter our smallness, no matter our insignificance or our lack of gifts, all of us can be used by Him beyond anything we can imagine or dream to touch the lives of the people around us. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those that were there as much as they could eat. And He did the same with the fish. Jesus fed 5,000 men and at least that many women and children with the 5 loaves and 2 fish that the little boy had given to Him. Someone so small and so insignificant that He wasn't even counted when they only counted the men. They overlooked Him when they were figuring out how many people were there. And yet this little boy was used to touch every person's life, to share with everyone and meet their need. Everyone ate and was filled, and afterward they collected enough leftovers to fill 12 baskets. It was a complete miracle. You see, God is never limited by our lack of abilities. If we walk in nearness to Him, offer Him a willing and available heart, and surrender to His Lordship, there is no limit to what He can do. If you had been visiting London's Trafalgar Square in the summer of 1945, shortly after the end of World War II, you might have noticed a young man walking toward the Anglican Church, St. Martin in the Fields. And if you followed him, you might have watched him enter alone, find a quiet place far in a corner at an empty pew, and you might have seen him sit down to pray. His name was Tom. And he had just returned from serving as a military chaplain during the war, ministering to young men whose lives were literally being torn apart. Later, Tom wrote of that day, and he writes this, "I wanted to pray and meditate. I was overwhelmed with the fact that I had come back alive and even uninjured. In my prayer and meditation, I asked the Lord what He wanted me to do. I believe He had spared me for some reason, some purpose, and it was indeed that belief that gave me courage and again had sustained me in the face of death and destruction. I committed myself to Him unreservedly for what He wanted me to do. I never forget those moments in St. Martin's. Whenever I am back in London, I try to visit it again. in renewal of my unreserved commitment to God in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. This is the full surrender of servanthood. This young man, Thomas F. Torrance, would go on to serve as a pastor and later as one of the greatest theologians of the late 20th century. He passed away 5 years ago, yet his pastoral ministry and evangelical writings continue to make a lasting contribution to the kingdom of God. But at the beginning of it all, at the center of who he was, we find the simple commitment that even the smallest child can make to walk closely with our Lord, to be available to do his will, and to unreservedly surrender our lives to him for his service. This morning, there is a simple question that Jesus is asking each of us. Do we want God to use us? Do we want Jesus to take our lives and to shape them and mold them in such a way that he can use us to make an eternal difference in our generation for his glory? Will we live our lives in nearness to our Lord and to what he is doing around us? Will we make ourselves available to Christ for him to use us when so many others around us are pulling back and filling their lives with other things? Will we surrender our lives completely and without reservation to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? As we say yes to God, we find that like that little boy, Jesus will use us beyond our limitations to make an eternal difference in the lives of the people around us. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you today that you look for insignificant, limited people to use in miraculous ways. And today we come before you in our poverty, in our limitation, with not much. It's like 5 barley loaves and 2 pickled fish. How could you really use that? But Lord, we offer it, all that we are, all that we have, we offer it to you with open hands and an available heart. And we say, Jesus, use us for your glory. Use us to touch the hurting, the broken, the lost. Use us to bring your love and your truth to a lost world who is desperate and hungry for you. Lord, give us hearts that surrender. Give us hearts that trust you, that step out in servanthood and watch as you use us beyond our dreams. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.